Layer 515, Eleanor Roosevelt. On the wall in front of you are two text panels, the first one entitled, Eleanor and Race. We have never been willing to face this problem, to line it up with the basic underlying beliefs in democracy. Eleanor Roosevelt, The Moral Basis of Democracy, 1940. Until the 1930s, racial justice was not a cause that engaged Eleanor Roosevelt. But as she traveled around the nation, she saw for herself the depth of racial discrimination in America and resolved to do whatever she could to combat it. In January 1934, she invited NAACP Director Walter White and other African American leaders to the White House for an unprecedented meeting. Soon after, she began pressuring New Deal agencies to end discrimination in pay and work assignments, lobbying FDR to appoint blacks to administrative positions in New Deal agencies, and pushing her husband to support anti-lynching legislation. ER's outspoken advocacy generated a powerful response from African Americans. Segregationists reacted with hatred and outrage. The Ku Klux Klan threatened her. Undeterred, ER grew more outspoken in her attacks on racial inequality. On the same wall, immediately to the right, is another text panel entitled, Marian Anderson, the DAR, and Eleanor Roosevelt. In 1939, Mrs. Roosevelt became involved in a famous event in civil rights history. In January 1939, the Daughters of the American Revolution, DAR, refused a request to let renowned African-American contralto Marian Anderson perform in Constitution Hall, their Washington, D.C. auditorium. The nation's capital was racially segregated, and the DAR had an unwritten policy of allowing only white performers. Despite public pressure, the DAR continued to deny Anderson use of the auditorium. Seeking to signal her disapproval, ER invited Anderson to perform at the White House. Then, on February 26, 1939, she resigned from the DAR. Mrs. Roosevelt then worked quietly with others to promote the idea of an outdoor concert by Anderson at the Lincoln Memorial. Anderson's stirring April 9th concert attracted 75,000 people. The DAR's refusal to let Anderson perform, ER's resignation, and the Lincoln Memorial Concert together focused national attention on America's color barrier. Turn around 180 degrees and walk about 2 feet forward. The remaining portion of this exhibit on Eleanor Roosevelt begins with an introductory text panel that reads, A New Kind of First Lady. I knew what traditionally should lie before me, and I cannot say that I was pleased at the prospect. The turmoil in my heart and mind was rather great that night. Eleanor Roosevelt's memory of election night, 1932, This I Remember, 1949. Eleanor Roosevelt dreaded becoming First Lady. A writer, teacher, social reformer, and political activist, she relished her hard-won freedom and financial independence. Though happy for her husband's success, she now faced the prospect of a life confined to the traditional social duties of the president's wife. At FDR's insistence, Eleanor resigned all of her professional positions. She came to Washington with no defined role other than White House hostess. Yet ER soon began showing FDR how her energy and interests could help him achieve his goals. Instead of conforming to the accepted role of First Lady, she redefined it. She began holding press conferences on political matters for female reporters. She made fact-finding trips, logging 40,000 miles in 3 months. She asked Americans to write to her with their concerns. Within months, she received 300,000 letters. ER's actions served notice that she was a new kind of First Lady. Turn right and walk 2 feet, then turn left to face a last bit of scaffolding with a series of brown panels, beginning with one on your left, about Eleanor Roosevelt as a newspaper columnist. Eleanor Roosevelt reached out to Americans in ways no previous First Lady had ever done. She traveled the country on lecture tours. She hosted radio programs where she defended New Deal programs and spoke out on public issues. And in 1936, she inaugurated a six-day-a-week syndicated newspaper column titled My Day. Written in a simple, unpretentious style, My Day initially chronicled the large and small details of Mrs. Roosevelt's life as First Lady. But she increasingly used it to discuss social issues and promote political policies. During ER's years as First Lady, My Day appeared in up to 62 newspapers, with a total circulation of over 4 million. For a time, she was the third most popular syndicated columnist in America. She continued writing the column until shortly before her death in 1962. Turn to your right and walk about 2 feet forward to an angled display panel about waist high. Hanging on this panel, about a foot in from the left and right sides of the 5 feet panel, are two black wand earpieces with dangling black cords and a series of three push buttons arranged vertically to the left and right of the wands. You may listen to a few audio recordings of Eleanor's many radio appearances from the time by holding a wand to your ear and pressing one of the three buttons on the vertical panel. Note that there are two buttons on the front of each wand that allow you to control the volume. Text to the right of the left-hand wand reads, Radio Personality. ER became a prominent radio personality during the 1930s and 40s. She began appearing on the radio during the 1920s, speaking about public issues on New York stations. When she became First Lady, she was interviewed on countless radio shows, commenting on news events and public policy. She also hosted several current events programs. In 1939, WNBC called her the First Lady of Radio. Though she donated her fees to charity, Mrs. Roosevelt still endured criticism from some who felt this work was inappropriate. Lift the handset to listen to a selection of her radio appearances. The top button is a recording from December 16, 1937, in which ER discusses women in the workplace. The middle button plays a recording of ER talking with actress Katharine Hepburn on September 27, 1940. The bottom button plays a recording of ER speaking about tolerance and democracy from September 28, 1941. Turn right and walk 3 feet and turn left. We've come to the last panel in this room, which addresses the partnership Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt forged in the White House. A brown text panel reads, A Revolutionary Partnership. No one who ever saw Eleanor Roosevelt sit down facing her husband and holding his eyes firmly say to him, Franklin, I think you should, or Franklin, surely you will not, will ever forget the experience. New Deal Administrator Rexford Tugwell. Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt created a revolutionary political partnership. A tireless traveler and astute observer, Eleanor provided vital assistance to her husband by making fact-finding trips to get a first-hand perspective on economic conditions and the progress of New Deal programs. The First Lady lobbied FDR for the appointment of women and minorities to administrative positions and gave them access to the president. She criticized racial and gender discrimination within New Deal programs, urged administration figures to address it, and became a vocal advocate for education and youth. I sometimes acted as a spur, she recalled, even though the spurring was not always wanted. Though ER often challenged FDR in private, she rarely dissented from his policies in public. The president sometimes used Eleanor to test the waters for legislation he was considering. If political reaction was negative, FDR could smile and claim it was simply his missus' view. Hanging to the left of this panel are two memos from Eleanor to FDR, behind a flat glass panel with the explanatory text, Eleanor Roosevelt frequently offered recommendations and advice to her husband. The Roosevelts developed a system to ensure that her concerns received the president's attention during his crowded days. ER placed short memos like these in a basket at FDR's bedside for the president to review later. The example on the top contains a brief approval note in FDR's hand. Turn right and walk about 2 feet and then turn left. Walk about 3 feet and turn left again. You will now be automatically redirected back to wherever you left off in the base message.